Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For anybody that might be unfamiliar with my voice, my name is Peter Mingles. We are here with a great gentleman. His name is Nick Cantos. And Nick, I know your dad, Ole Cantos, will not be here today. He said he was in a meeting and he had a conflicting schedule, and we know he won't be here. So having said that, you are a college student. You are in your third year, third semester, or your second semester of your third year. Going to be graduating in a year or so as a college student with, I know you do economics and business and macroeconomics and all that sort of stuff as well. And overall, you're also involved in home-based businesses with a network marketing company. And you're working with your dad as well as a whole bunch of other things. And since you're just coming on to our radio show right now, I don't know what we're going to talk about. So thanks for being here.
Hi. Good to talk to you all. I know today has not been a good day, but it's because of a bad night, like physically. But oh. I just literally just woke up because I was so tired. But,
oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So you haven't. So well. Here's a. Okay. You ready? I'm going to kind of give you a little bit of stuff. So we won't call it advice. We'll just call it stuff. So life is like a pizza. So lots of things are like a pizza. So have you ever had a pizza in your life?
Love pizza. Pizza's good.
You love pizza? Good. All right. So then, you know, if you went to go get a pizza, you can have it sliced. And sometimes they slice them somewhat evenly, and sometimes they don't. But I've always said that life is like a pizza. So there's going to be a certain portion of your life where you feel like crap. Hopefully it's a small slice. So when it happens and you feel like crap, or when you happen and you had a bad night because you couldn't sleep very well and you're kind of like not so feeling so well that next day, that's kind of expected if you're already kind of expecting it. So you just kind of like take off the pressure and just say, you know what, you're right. Life is like a pizza and a certain portion of my day are going to be crappy days like this. And then it just kind of makes it a lot easier to deal with. And then you're also going to have
it's fine.
Good days.
I have a lot of good days, and the thing is it's because I was so busy, right? I mean, this week has been the busiest week I've ever experienced.
Why?
I have to do so much reading for my classes, and it's not always easy to do, especially if it's a topic you don't necessarily like history. No, I like history, but I just don't like this history. But anyway, that's what's going on right now. I've been pretty busy with stuff. Also been doing a group project for my business classes. And hopefully they use what I give them because I have given them advice that may help with accessibility of the website because I'm a blind person and really think about that until they're told about it. But mm-hmm. That's how it is.
So when you said you're giving them advice on, I just missed the words that you used. You said giving them advice on what?
The accessibility of the website.
Right. Now that's really a dynamic question it's an interesting question, because there's different people that do different websites at different levels. For instance, maybe like a big company, they would or should have the ability to have a certain department that focuses on, hey, we need to make sure that our products are available for people that are whatever kind of disability. I'm using the term disability without any negative aspects. Like if you can't see.
I know. Yeah, the conversation's there.
Yeah. So the on a big scale, like if you're Microsoft, you should probably be able to make all different types of versions of your software. By the way, Microsoft does. My hat's off to them. There's a lot of different things, especially on Windows 10, that I've learned
True.
That they have for people with visually impaired. It's pretty amazing. So, but if you're a small company, like if you're Nick Cantos and you're making T-shirts for Nick Cantos's, you know, whatever, it's hard to be able to then make.
It's not easy.
Because how many people might you have? that might be visually challenged. Or, like, for instance, sometimes I get phone calls from a service that focuses on deaf people. And like, shoot, I don't know how I would do this. Like, for lead generation or radio shows for deaf people. So go ahead.
Let me explain to you something. Because I'm blind and a business owner, being blind and having the right tools and making things accessible is the number one priority.
Sure.
If we can't use the tools, we can't do the business. And that's one of the things we did with our business, because we do actually run a company. Like our family, we run a family business, and we do multiple things now. We do, we're doing the home-based business stuff with MLMs. We're doing some other stuff with an esports company, and a whole bunch of other stuff, speaking engagements and all consulting services and all this stuff. But we can't even begin to do any of this stuff until everything works for us, because it's important that the tools work, and so that's one of the things that companies simply don't think about until they have someone who works for them who is blind or with other disabilities. You know, it just no one thinks about that until someone tells them. But unless you're the one running the company, then if you have the disability and you're running the company, of course you want to use the tools that work for you. So, yeah.
So what's the cutoff, let's say, for levels of expectation? So a little guy running a little shop in a little town, I'm going to pick on something like an example. If I'm a cleaning supply company and I want to build a website so people learn about my cleaning supply company, and I'm only in a small town, and are you expecting that person to be able to have a full-blown site to be able to handle everybody with every disability ever to be able to generate, you know, or have a website? And the answer to that probably is not.
That's where... People ask that question sometimes, and it's like, no, it's not possible to do that. Like, there are so many disabilities nowadays, and not even nowadays, they've been around forever, that you just never know. Like, but there are mental ones too, and it's like, how do you, you know, you just can't. It's so difficult to do. Well, I'm not saying you can't, I'm just saying, you know, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's not easy. And for me,
on a small scale, no.
On a small scale, no. On a big scale, yes.
Okay. So what's big? What's small? Small is like individuals. When do
small,
you get into
individuals,
that?
Family owned, like, you know, enterprises like ours, but you know, multi-billion-dollar multinational companies should be able to do things like this. I mean, it's not hard for them. They have billions and billions of dollars to spend and to use, and they have all this stuff that we don't. So they might as well use it for something that's going to help everyone if they can do it.
Got it. So small scale, no. Billion-dollar company, yes. How about when did – so keep going down, because those are both extremes. So would it be – you know, a company with 50 employees, 100 employees, 50 different websites, 30 different websites, like what
you
level?
You don't need 30 different websites. You don't need any, you don't need to separate websites.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best part, is the website that we have isn't separated between blind and sighted. It is for everyone. And we have, our website is as accessible as screen readers. Screen readers are the technology we use to use for computers. They need certain there are certain requirements for screen readers to help them work better. Otherwise, the website gets too clunky and it's not worth going on. So there are certain requirements, but in general, it can happen. Where a website looks good for people who can see, but it also can work for us too, for me and my brothers and stuff.
So is there a, like, for instance, WordPress is a very popular platform for people to build websites on. And with WordPress, many times you get like a theme. Is there a visually impaired, responsive theme? So no one's developed that. That's why it opened.
No one's developed that. That's why we hired. So we actually hired a programmer for this. We hired private services to do this, and it's pretty cool. You know, it's definitely worth the cost for us because we know it works. It's going to work for everyone, and that's important, or for as many people as it can work for. You know, we're just trying to make it so that people can use our website, and that's key. So, I mean, it's hard for me to say that it'll work for absolutely everyone because, you know, who knows, but it'll work for the people we need it to work for, and that's important because we're not marketing to everyone. We're marketing to people who want our product.
Right. Well, that's very interesting, and I'm surprised that nobody has figured out how to do like a WordPress theme. I'm going to check into that as well, and if I find something, I'll get back to you. Because so many people use WordPress when they're building out a website, I would figure somebody probably built a visually impaired kind of a template that has all the features in it. But then again, I don't know. But that's fascinating. Okay, so this is interesting, Nick. So back to your school. So what is it that you're learning, or what kind of lessons are you sharing with other people as far as business is concerned?
Well, it's mainly market research, and it's for traditional businesses. One we're doing for a sports company, and another one we're doing for a salon. And it's interesting stuff. We're trying to give them recommendations of what they should do. And, like, one of them is very visual. Like, the salon one is insanely visual because it's a salon. So the only thing I can do is give them advice on what I know, and so I did. But it's like everything else is basically logos and designs and all this stuff, and I just don't understand any of it. But they try to keep me up on everything. So my group is very nice. As for the sports company, it's mainly data based. We're basically collecting data and trying to figure out what they need. But it's not easy when the owner is not clear on what he needs. It's not easy when owners are not clear on what they need. So it's kind of like this is our first time ever doing market research and doing this kind of project. And it's a fun experience, but it's also quite hard because we have to work with actual owners of real companies. And that's not always an easy thing to do.
Right. Well, if you start to take a look at it, say, for instance, if you're running a company, you might focus on sales, but sales doesn't necessarily equal market research, because you might say, well, I've been selling a lot, but why the hell do I need market research? Why are you asking me all these questions? You know, wait a minute, you know, we're doing fine as far as sales, but then you start doing marketing research and you're like, geez, you're slowing me down. Like, you're slowing me down. You're asking a whole bunch of questions about stuff that I really don't know. I know I'm supposed to, I guess I'm supposed to, but the reality is why do I need this? I've been fine without you. Why do I need to go through this now? So,
They're both startups, so they do need market research.
Right.
They haven't sold anything yet, hardly.
Why do they need market? Why does a startup need market research?
A startup needs market research because they need to figure out what their target market. They need to figure out their audience. And they don't know the audience. They don't know who to sell to or to market to. That's important because people will buy their products. So that's inevitable. Every business, there's always someone who will buy their product. Question is, who is that audience and who wants that product? Because you're not going to want to market to everyone. If you market to everyone, you're marketing it to no one. So you might as well find the people who are wanting what you want, what you have.
Well, these are interesting dynamics because if you're selling name a product, you're going to sell a car washing service, right? So let's make it an example. But you're not doing. If you're selling a
That'd
car
cool.
washing, right? It would be. So if you're trying to sell to a car washing service, let's call it a mobile car washing service where the guy has a van and he comes over to your house and he washes your car in your driveway. How much marketing research do you need?
Well, for that kind of service, I'd say you'd need to have some data, figuring out what the area is, like if you're doing
in your local area.
What neighborhood
do you know that has a majority of houses that don't have cars that need to be washed?
I mean, if there's a majority, if there's a neighborhood where people do have cars and stuff, but the majority do drive cars, then that's always a good thing to find. So you find that neighborhood, and then you go in and you. Some people do surveys. Some people go on the street and ask questions. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things you can do to collect data and then figure out how many people want this. If you figure out how this would help the community, and then you kind of use that data to find, to figure out, well, how will this help you, and would you be willing to pay for it, kind of thing. So you use that data to figure out, well, should I be doing this or should I not be doing this, and should it be this area or a different area.
Right.
You know,
so
you
to
just
use
never,
as an example. Right. Well, to use an example,
yeah,
like I'm sticking with, if you're selling mobile car washing or detailing services, and you're trying to market to Manhattan.
I actually have a friend that does car detailing
services. There you go.
Services.
Right. So it would probably make no sense for you to market that in Manhattan, where very few people own cars.
That's a bad idea.
Right, probably a bad idea. But you might find affluent people that own that pay for parking garages. Aha, now that would probably be a perfect one. So that's where maybe some of the marketing research would be. People with the disposable income that pay for parking garages, because you know they have a car, and you know that for them it's probably hard to find a car wash, and they probably have disposable income and they want their car to look nice, so they could probably pay for a car wash. As opposed to maybe farmers over in wherever, like some small town in Illinois, southern Illinois, where the houses are spread out, and farmers probably not too worried too much about washing their cars because they don't even have cars, they have pickup trucks. So that's probably where you want to do a little bit of focus on your marketing if you're doing it on a large scale. But if you want the shotgun approach, you might as well just pick like probably where you guys live now, right? No. You're in a college.
Mm.
College students would suck. That would be a suck. That'd probably be a
sucky place. Not necessarily college students. But Arlington, yeah. Like where I live for home, I'd go there. I'd do it.
That'd
especially in the more affluent areas there, because
right,
there are people who own cars there and very, I'll say they're very nice cars, like Mercedes
right,
and stuff. But, there you go.
Yep. Excellent. So that's where market research might come into place. Okay, good. Let's do this. Let's take a little commercial break. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Nick Cantos, and my name is Peter Mingles. Here we go.
Thanks for listening to Building Fortunes Radio. If you sell a product or service, then you should check out PMMarketingsNetworkLeads.com. Just visit www.networkleads.com. For over 18 years, PM Marketing has helped distributors build their home-based businesses through lead generation, website development, automated email delivery systems, and sales training. If you're looking for a way to increase your skills and increase the number of people that see your product or opportunity, NetworkLeads.com can help. To learn more, visit www.NetworkLeads.com. Ask about their lead management system, capture pages, personalized websites, MLM training, Humongous Blog, the Humongous Classified Ad Network, Building Fortunes Radio, or their webinar schedule. NetworkLeads.com can be your one-stop shop for everything you need. And now, back to our show.
And we are back. Peter Mingles here talking to college student Nick Cantos, who's also a person who's involved in MLM. Ole Cantos is his dad, and Ole is a lawyer. He's over in Washington, D.C. He's doing another project right now. But we talk about everything related to entrepreneurialism, if that's a word, on this radio show with Nick, and we're talking about marketing research and stuff along that line. So, Nick, a quick question. A lot of us maybe haven't been to college in a long time. We might have kids or grandkids in college, but old farts like me, it's been a long time since I've been in college. How much in college do they do real-world research for, like, real-world companies?
Okay. So my experience So my experience is different because they go to a private school. Okay?
Okay.
Now, here's the difference between public school and private school. Private school, we have connections, which means we can talk to our local communities and have things more real world based. So our entire class is basically real world based. That's literally like half of the class is this project. And another half
wow.
is basically learning stuff with books. But basically the half the class was this project, and it's we're helping small businesses grow black owned.
So how does your school pick which small business they would help? Is it something the small business owner asks for? Is it something that somebody knows?
My professor somehow has a process. There's an organization he works with that helps people who are owning who are entrepreneurs who are starting businesses here in Buena Vista. We help them with that.
So the connections somehow are developed through the school, and then you guys just work the people that are picked. So you don't go out there and start from the very beginning. You kind of eat whatever you're fed, meaning they give you a guy and then you take a look at that and then you work on that.
Yeah, but it's still real world stuff because
yeah, no, it's real world, absolutely. I was just kind of curious on the whole process. So you were given the baby. You weren't like doing the sperm and the egg stuff. You didn't start it from the very, very, very beginning. You were kind of like after the baby was born. So there's a baby that's born. There you go. Now you're working on it. Now, is there something without telling us the business? Can you tell us the nature of the business?
Okay, so there's two of them actually. So we have one.
Okay.
We're working with a sports company that we're doing. It's like a youth sports company, like one of those youth programs.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one where we're helping a salon, like a salon start. I think today was the grand opening.
Okay.
Of it.
So a salon, like a haircutting salon, they do like haircutting and nails or just mostly hair?
I think it's mostly hair. It seems that way to me. Like I said, that one is so visual that I don't know exactly what they do because their website is basically all pictures.
Do they do men and women or just women?
No, it seems to be a woman's place. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So then you're working with the sporting. Is it youth or is it sports? Or is
so
it both?
It's a youth program, but it's also a sports program. So they do competitive sports, but they're also a youth program.
Oh, sweet. So in reference to – let's focus on the salon because most of us can probably remember what a salon is and think about that as opposed to youth sports. It might be a little bit more vague for some people. So, like
– Yeah, I do think, yeah.
Walk me through some of the things that you would talk to them about. Would you talk to them about, like, pricing of products or advertising or coupons or business relationships?
No, no, no. Our thing was – talking to them about she wanted help with designs and figuring out what the logo was and a lot of creation stuff.
Oh, okay.
So
you're like designing the actual, you're actually designing the salon first before the even first customer comes in.
No. So she has the building and everything, but she does the advertising and stuff, but we're doing the website design and marketing for the digital, because this is a digital marketing course.
Oh,
so
okay.
We're doing the digital parts of how to make this thing good, look good, how to market this online, all this stuff. I mean, figuring out which tools to use. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, but we're focused on things like design. And my friends are artists, so it's like, I mean, they're doing insane stuff. I don't know how they're doing this. They are using this thing called Canva to make entire designs of logos, and it's insane. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, I think Canva, C-A-N-V-A, for those people listening in, is a program where basically it helps you with graphics. So if I add a picture of something, I could add words to it and do some other things with it as well. So Canva, I think, is that. I've never used it before. I think I might have used it once to kind of add like a little tagline onto a picture that somebody might have done so I could make a little meme. But short of that, I'm really not sure all the things that it does. So the stuff that you guys might do would be things like that. But would it also be things like showing them an online calendar where people could book appointments and online reminders and things?
I gave the owner the advice of, you know, having a fully accessible POS system on the website and also a calendar to book appointments, because that's important. People are willing to pay for your stuff, but it has to be right on the website. Otherwise, people won't pay for it. To have a calendar to book appointments with, whatever, because it needs to work. They don't have that yet, which you kind of need that for this kind of thing.
Right. I know that I don't get my hair cut anymore because I like it short, and I got a buzzer. But when I did get my hair cut before I did my buzzer, because I'm in Florida, so I don't like it long. But before that, I used to go to like Supercuts because I'm cheap and I'm a guy, and I usually had just people buzz my hair pretty close anyway.
Expensive illegal where we live.
What's that?
That's expensive where we live. It's like $50 for three of us.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. So what I would do is I would be able to make my appointment online. I know I'm telling things to people that probably know what I'm talking, that probably already know, but I was able to, they had like a calendar, I'd be able to make it online. They tell me how many minutes I was waiting. They told me the local places in the area, blah, blah, blah. It was kind of cool. So it made it really convenient for me if I wanted to know how long of a wait there was, like there's 11-minute wait or there's an hour and a half minute wait and all that sort of stuff. But what was also really messed up is it was almost like I had to go online. They forced me to be online, and it was kind of like they're forcing me to register online, so if I showed up, I felt out of place. Like, I couldn't just walk in. I never knew what I was going to be on top of, just like anywhere else. But it was kind of like weird that way that I was unfamiliar with how to do it. But if you're a millennial or if you're used to doing things like this, you're probably pretty comfortable.
That's pretty standard. Nowadays, it's pretty standard. Sometimes you walk in. I mean, but in general, right. Especially nowadays, that's going to change because of COVID. Things change. So now, now appointments are completely necessary. You have to book an appointment.
Right. Absolutely.
And so it's like, you know, it's such a standard procedure now that it's like kind of ingrained into our systems where you just go online and book an appointment. But with if your website does not have a proper appointment calendar set up, or anything like that, how are you going to make anything happen, right? You have to have it right there. People are not going to go to you and book an appointment. No, you have to go online to do that.
Right. So what you're doing is you're helping to develop that whole thing, the interface.
Better
how
yet,
it works,
if it were me doing this, I would make an app. That's what I'd do if it were me.
Right. Or use an app. There's probably an app for that, you know, just like everything else in life. Sweet. Well, guess what? We're almost done, Nick. So tell people how to get in touch with you and your dad.
Hi there. So to get in touch with my dad, his website is https://inphone.co/olie.
So it's in the phone. So inphone.co/Oli.
Yes.
And then for you? How do I get in touch with you?
If you want into contact with me, I am Nick Cantos on Facebook and at NickCantos99 on Twitter.
Excellent. Okay, good. So is there anything else you want to add before we close it up?
Well, thank you very much for listening. And I really do enjoy this, talking to Peter and to all of you about the business concepts, and I'm still learning. So just look forward to whatever happens in the next several years. So thank you.
Excellent. Okay, good. We're going to catch everybody next time on Building Fortunes Radio. Nick, tell everybody you said hello. Thank you.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.